I'm Dr. Sarah, a licensed chiropractor.
And I'm Val, clinical research enthusiast and international board-certified lactation consultant.
We are passionate about helping you navigate women's health and wellness topics naturally.
We bring the information and options
so you can make empowered choices.
This is the Empowered Women podcast. Just a reminder, the information contained in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or illness or be taken as medical advice. Always check with your healthcare provider for medical advice.
So exciting.
Hello.
Hello. That is exactly how I'm feeling.
I don't know. Is it like the weather this weekend? This is absolutely terrible and cold and miserable. And I don't know when we're going to release this, but it's Cinco de Mayo. And the weather, like the past 2 weeks was great. And then all of a sudden it just turned to crap.
Oh yeah. I was like super excited for yesterday to hang out with the boys and everything because every day it has been 80 degrees. And then it was like 60.
Well, and like me. It rained and it wasn't supposed to until later. It was so cold. I mean, like, I didn't have a jacket yesterday. I could have used a jacket. That's how cold it was.
Yeah, it is nasty. It's worse today. But it's nasty.
I know. But it's Cinco de Mayo, Dr. Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. I was reminiscing. So we had a pretty yucky weekend in general. I had a patient cough/sneeze right in my mouth on. When was that? Thursday? And then Friday, I felt horrible.
Did you really? I'm sorry.
Horrible. Today was like, okay.
Like, you're fighting something.
Oh yeah, like right in my mouth. It's so gross. I was going to adjust their neck and it was just like right in my mouth. But...
Yeah, you know, like when you care for people, it's like you get really close sometimes.
You're really close.
I know.
How fast can sneezes go? Like 60 miles an hour?
Well, and did you ever see like actual like footage, like images of what? Yeah, you probably have. We are thinking of those that you can see online where it shows like what's coming out when someone's sneezing. And you're like, this is why you tell your kids to cover your mouth and nose when you sneeze and cough. Adults, take notice.
I take notice. Well, this was a child, so. I mean, he's old enough to know, but it was a child.
No, I know. It could have just happened out of nowhere, too. I know. So what did you want to talk about today, Dr. Sarah?
I had a couple different things I was thinking about, but one of the biggest things that I've been talking to patients about lately, and especially like this is great for postpartum community, is essential amino acids such as L-theanine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I love amino acid talk.
So amino acids, I mean, there are 20 amino acids, there are 9 essential amino acids that we need. One of them that is, it's not one of the 9, but an amino acid that is really great for supplemental support is something called L-theanine, not to be confused with L-threonine.
Okay.
This is T-H-E-A-N-I-N-E. And its ability to help with like postpartum anxiety and postpartum depression.
Okay. I love this conversation.
Because it's breastfeeding safe.
Yeah. I also feel like,
in general, people can be taking this, but
yeah. Well, I mean, we should. So the thing with amino acids, right? They're the building blocks of protein. For people listening, let's think. I love to go back to basic biology.
Let's go back to basic. Go.
I like to break it down for the public. So, like Dr. Sarah said, there are essential and non-essential, and the essential you have to get from diet. Because you need them, you can't just passively get them. Like, you have to be active about what you're taking in. I particularly love this topic because, are you familiar with Dr. Gabrielle Lyons?
I'm not.
Okay. She's, like, blown up on the internet the past year because she wrote a book that I will say is, like, one of the best, like, research-based books I've probably ever read. but it's geared towards the general public. It's, you know, it's not just for people interested in science. Right. And she's big. I mean, you know, I'm really big in exercise, particularly building muscle and lifting. And I really love muscle on women for a variety of reasons. And I'm not talking looking like a bodybuilder, you know, or all those whatever, because it really comes down to like a health issue and mm-hmm. body composition. And the more muscle tissue you have, it's biologically active tissue, right? Adipose tissue is like also active, but it's bad for you. Right. So it's, if you have more muscle to fat, yes, women tend to carry more, you know, fat to muscle ratio. And it can be very difficult for us to get super lean. It's also not like super healthy. But as you age, and her whole philosophy is, physicians have been going about this wrong for decades. You know, obviously they've gotten the obesity and weight crisis wrong in this country and how they've approached diet and exercise, and they're missing a huge piece of that. And her opinion is that it's muscle. So she actually has a practice where she implements something called muscle-centric medicine. And she basically teaches people how to build muscle and lose fat. And it's not necessarily about a number on a scale. Do you know what I mean? And it really comes down to the issue with that is it comes down to a lot of control with diet, particularly protein, mm-hmm. and your amino acids that you're getting in certain ratios, in composition, what they all do, how powerful they all are. And they have, like you said, different ones have effects on different aspects of our health. So like, super cool. I'll link the book in the notes. She's all over social media. I've listened to a million podcasts with her. I've read the book. But if people really want to educate themselves on amino acids, that's a good like place to get started, I feel like.
Absolutely. Especially because, like you just said, if it is a book that breaks down the different ones and what they do, mm-hmm. people associate amino acids, building blocks of protein must just be about muscle mass. And a lot of them aren't. And
it's about your health.
Mm-hmm. And L-theanine is really geared towards and can be used as an aid in mental health and sleep.
I love this. Yeah. I love that you're bringing this up, because I think you may know this, but May is like, mental health awareness, but like, this is huge. Yeah. And postpartum mental health is all over the internet right now.
All over. And it's like, there are things that we can do, but I think we have said this in podcasts before. It's like, how many of our friends do we know that's on Lexapro? You can take L-theanine with some of those. Bridge the gap if you want to start to dose down. You just, like the brand that I use, you just want to take it within an hour of what you're supplementing with. But it is actually a prescribable supplement for mental health, and a lot of practitioners are actually starting to recommend that. Mm-hmm. To aid women with anxiety and postpartum anxiety and intrusive thoughts, things like that.
That is super fascinating to me. I love it, because there's also a shift I'm seeing online, and it is like Mental Health Awareness Month. So I feel like a lot of the birth and postpartum accounts, you know, and women's health accounts that we follow are sharing a lot about the nutritional piece of mental health and postpartum depression and anxiety, and how it's so closely linked to so many nutrient deficiencies. And you know, I talk about the same book all the time, The Postpartum Depletion Cure, but he really, really spends a lot of time on this. And the lack of nutrients and their link to those symptoms postpartum. Mm-hmm. And I know people think like, well, that's so ridiculous. Not ridiculous, but I feel like there's probably a lot of people out there screaming like, well, you don't get it, or, you know, that's so simple, or that's not a solution. Like, it's, yes, mental health is a real crisis, and postpartum anxiety and depression and psychosis are very serious, and like, we're not downplaying that, but I think it's working to the root of making sure you don't have any of those nutritional deficiencies, or assisting you know, in like, say, you know, if you want to drop down dosage or, you know, dosage, talking to your practitioner about supplements like that, especially if they're knowledgeable in this space. So yes, I understand it's serious and I'm not downplaying it or saying that medication may not be needed or need it for a certain period of time. But, you know, Sarah and I are all about educating you guys on other things and other ways and things you can talk to with your practitioners to maybe support yourself a little bit better.
And one of the best things about, especially if you're talking about postpartum health, and listen, guys, anybody that's suffering from anxiety or depression can take a supplement like this. I have patients who are men who I have recommended take the supplement, and they've seen a night and day difference just being on the supplement compared to the different medications that they were on. So I've personally seen a difference in my practice members, and we just started, you know, using it for some of our postpartum moms. But the reality is that it's something that you're going to be getting in diet anyways. It's just whether you want to incorporate it in a supplement form, or there are different ways that you can take it, such as like using teas. So tea has a really high concentration of L-theanine, especially whenever it comes in, like, I think it's in most potency to least, it's your yellow teas, then your greens, white, oolong, and black.
Right.
So, it's green, white, oolong, and black. I don't know. This article is giving me a little bit different. The chart says yellow, green, white, but then the data shows green, white. Strange. I'll get a clarification on that. But so they found that if you want a supplement but you don't want to take a pill, you can essentially just do teas, and do concentrated teas. So instead of taking that hit of caffeine in the morning that is shown to spike anxiety, such as like a coffee or an espresso drink, if you substitute with green teas or oolongs, that's going to give you a lot of L-theanine, which can support serotonin levels and dopamine levels, and it helps with your GABA receptors in the brain. So it's very neuroprotective, yeah. And it will help you actually create and regulate your serotonin and dopamine, which I think is fascinating. We're thinking postpartum, you want to do those warm.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. You want to do warm, comforting things to begin with. We're always talking about warming foods and warming soups, but doing really steeped teas, just like we talked about in the dandelion episode, can be beneficial because of that L-theanine component. And it's going to be safer, like breastfeeding.
I feel like you're touching on this with what you're saying, but Dr. Lyons also goes into how a lot of the amino acids feed the gut bacteria, the good gut bacteria in our digestive tracts. And when you eat certain foods that contain certain amino acids, you're actually contributing to your gut health, but inadvertently that helps things like depression and anxiety, because they're such contributors to mental health. So your gut health has an effect. I mean, a lot of you listening know that, but it's important for serotonin production. Also like satiety too. Like when you eat like the right amounts of amino acids, you're going to feel fuller and thus help yourself not eat as much. It's really interesting.
So L-theanine has, the biggest thing it's known for is actually mental health, but it is a huge antioxidant. It has antioxidative activities such as like decreasing different reactive oxygen species in the body. It increases enzyme activity. But it also has anti-inflammatory components, neuroprotective effects. So it increases quality of sleep. It can help decrease spinal cord injuries, and it can help decrease the brain from oxidative lesions. So I'm thinking like, even women who may have people in their family or, you know, are fearful of those cognitive
aging disorders
like dementia or what's the other one? Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
Doing and taking and drinking these things while we're younger and still in the ability to protect our brains can be vital.
Yeah.
And this is one of the ways that you can do it. It's just, it's so simple. You think about these things and it can just be so simple.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take an extra pill. You can literally just like start small by incorporating different teas into your everyday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it strange that when we were growing up, like not a lot of people did like coffee? Like there wasn't this huge like coffee shop era or like the artistry and like.
Well, I think
now I feel like
drank it a lot, but I think they made it at home.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so I see what you're saying.
They're like addicted to caffeine.
Yeah, there wasn't like a coffee shop culture, like you're kind of saying.
Don't get me wrong. I'm like. Sign me a coffee shop and I'm there.
Oh, me too. I know, especially because there's all types of other things that they can make for you there now too if you're not drinking coffee. I think
young people are like addicted to caffeine, addicted to coffee, and like me myself, I'm talking from experience, like I don't even think about adding teas into my repertoire because it's like my body doesn't even register it as something to do, but it is so simple.
Yeah, I know. And helpful.
And yeah, a wide range of these teas and essentially tinctures and elixirs can do so many benefits for us. And we just kind of ignore that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm like, man, I could really live that English life where they're drinking tea all day. And it'd be like culturally acceptable. I think it's so funny. It's like tea people are essentially what cat people used to be. Like, you don't want to be a cat person. You want to be a dog person. And it's like in our society, it's like you don't want to be a tea person. You want to be a coffee person.
I feel like I drink a lot of tea. I mean, I have it in the morning.
You do?
And I have it sometimes in the afternoon. But yeah, like you said, I think you're either a tea person or you're not. Because the tea drinkers I know are definitely tea drinkers, and they drink it usually like multiple times a day, because sometimes I also feel like that's your fix if you're not drinking coffee. So you're having that warm cup of liquid and then you want that pick me up like later in the day too, or just like something to sip on so you don't snack. Like I would use it like a lot like that. Like I just want something or to do something, but I'm not really hungry.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You're like, I'll just have like tea.
I wish I felt that way. Me, I'm like, if I'm at home making another cup of coffee and like,
I'm just, well, no, coffee's amazing too. It makes me really sick right now. So,
so stop talking about it.
No, it's fine. I just really wish I could like really enjoy it. I actually did have a cup yesterday and it was good. But
that's how I was with Eli and Archie. And that's how my friend knew she was pregnant, was that she went to get a cup of coffee at the airport and was like, oh no.
My children eat coffee in utero for whatever reason.
Yep.
It is not their friend.
But other things L-theanine is good for is like anti-cancer activity. It helps your body recognize cancer cells and encourage apoptosis, or the death of cancer cells, which I thought is very cool.
That is very cool.
It helps, and it helps decrease any adverse reactions of chemotherapy. So those that are undergoing treatment, that can be used as a way to kind of swerve those.
Your system, yeah.
Helps with cardiovascular function, liver and kidney function. It helps with immunoregulation, so decrease immune stress on your body. So like that doctor that I was talking about, that you're recommending, she talks about a lot of this, but this is L-theanine is one of those things that, like we were saying, a lot of people might associate with muscle gain or muscle build or protein intake, but it really regulates all other systems of the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, look, if you are trying to conceive pregnant or postpartum, I would say amino acid consumption's pretty important. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's important throughout your life, but remember, we're always talking about you're building a baby from scratch, and those building blocks are the building blocks of cells. You know, they're the things that you need. They are your amino acids. It is your collagen, you know, it is your, you know, calcium, it's all the things that, you know, you need to build a human being. So you really need to be, you know, trying to nourish yourself the best that you can, with those things.
Absolutely. What was he going to say? I think right now what they recommend, and honestly, I would talk to a more holistic provider, because we all know, like, what they recommend for FDA standards is kind of
low
over there. I think it was 500 milligrams of L-theanine a day is like the recommended dosage. But
if you're supplementing, correct.
Yeah. I'm going to, here, I can look up real quick the dose for what I take or what I have taken. Nutritional Frontiers, a lot of their anti-anxiety blends or their they have L-theanine in it because of the calming state and the impact that it has on serotonin and dopamine. So they have a brand called, or a blend called Calm Day, and it has a lot of different things in it, but one of the bigger portions of it is L-theanine.
That's super cool.
Let's see here. Yep. So, well, one capsule for this is 200 grams or milligrams.
Milligrams. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa, 200 grams.
200 grams. Whoa. No. But I think depending on what you're experiencing, you can take a little bit more or less.
Yeah. Very cool.
Very cool.
I love this. That was a good little
tips for people, especially. I mean, like, if you're doing everything you feel like you possibly can, you might be lacking in that amino acid, especially if you're not eating things like mushrooms or drinking stuff like tea, because those are where you're going to find the highest forms of concentration. A lot of people have like an adverse reaction to mushrooms.
I just don't like mushrooms.
Yeah.
I don't know why. They're so freaking good. I'm sorry. I like love mushrooms, but I know not everybody does. So,
well, the thing is, like, you can now just go get different, like reishi or mud water or different cocos that is just full of mushrooms. And
there's so many mushroom blends, and they're so good. I love it.
And if you think about it, all of them are for like relaxation and sleep improvement, and it's because full of these things that support neuroprotect, like the health of your brain, the protection. Mm-hmm. So highly recommend. That's one thing I would recommend for anybody struggling with mental health to include in their day-to-day.
Very cool, Dr. Sarah. I liked that one.
Well, I think that we have a little bit of time here. Did you get my message the other day?
I did. Wearing? Yeah. I feel like with baby wearing, I don't understand why people are getting their knickers in a crunch, because I just feel like baby wearing has been used by so many cultures around the world for so many years. I don't feel like, you know, there's any type of like cultural negativity being, you know, used when you're baby wearing, but I guess.
Well, since we're on the topic of like postpartum and like mental health, what can you talk a little bit about like the benefits for mom's mental health of baby wearing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I recommend baby wearing to all my families. I feel like it's on my intake. Like, are you wearing your baby? You know, have you started? Do you have a baby carrier? I always show my moms how to breastfeed in their carriers if they don't know how. I feel like when you're a first-time parent, there's a little bit of a learning curve with that, or it just seems like overwhelming or weird. But baby wearing is great for bonding. So a lot of times moms can feel disconnected from their babies, you know, depending on their birth experience, or trauma that they had. I know a lot of times there's moms that say, like, you know, if they had an unplanned C-section, they have a really hard time bonding sometimes, or their baby doesn't feel like theirs. Not always. But it's out there, you know, and baby wearing is really good for that, for letting your baby feel connected to you because they don't want to be separated from you. You know, the best place for them is on your chest, especially if you're going to be breastfeeding. So it keeps them really close to the breast. So it encourages breastfeeding, it encourages frequent breastfeeding, it encourages bonding. It lets you smell them. And again, I did a reel on this recently with smelling the baby's head because it releases oxytocin. So it's going to release that love hormone and those feelings of bonding and love and pleasure and joy and all those types of things that mom really does need to feel and experience after birth. And maybe if she's having a little bit of a void with that, or, you know, there was a disconnect in the system somewhere, that can help a ton. It also makes life a lot easier.
Yes.
Babies don't want to be put down. And I mean, especially those first couple weeks and months, like there's absolutely no reason not to wear them. And if you have multiple children, it makes things exceptionally easier, especially if you're breastfeeding. It is really good for their postural stability and building the muscles that you want to be building as far as things like being upright and tummy time and feeding in extension, which is what we want to see in the neck and the head when they're eating, and for getting all those muscles they should be using for feeding, you know, toned. You know, we want to get all of that like working properly. Feeding in an upright position is actually really good for babies. Like I said, they can, it's easier for them to eat and tilt their head back. And a lot of times moms, if they're having like nipple pain or discomfort, it really helps in those types of positions. And if the baby has any type of tethered oral tissue, it can help as well. Also, babies that don't want to take the breast or latch, baby wearing can be really helpful for that. So, I mean, it's great for like so many things, but yes, especially for mental health. And if you're having trouble bonding, I would say with your baby, or, you know, feeling that closeness with them, or you just don't, you know, there's a lot of moms that say that they're not in love right away. And I don't think that's a problem. I think that that's their experience and it needs to be validated, but baby wearing can definitely help.
Well, I mean, sometimes you go from like, well, we've talked about this. You go from being the pregnancy is all about you and how you're feeling and how you're doing to having a baby. And then like nobody, you get like shunned. And I think people, it's like you almost feel like shafted by the baby. And I didn't have that experience with Archer, but I did a little bit with Eli. And I think that's why my depression like really unraveled. I mean, there was a lot of other components behind it, but yeah, when, but we also, I feel like sometimes like you get guilted into like not wearing the baby. Put the baby down.
Right. Or if somebody wants to hold the baby. But I mean, really, there's no reason to put the baby down. You know, it's good for them and it's good for you. And I mean, like we've talked about this before, but that's how babies create secure attachments. And secure attachment is needed for a lot of aspects of their emotional and mental health later in life.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, Archie loves me, like, I'm Archie's person, his person. I love that, like, he wants me, like, all the time now.
It's a lot.
Yeah. But like, there's like a small part of me that finds a lot of satisfaction in the fact that like, when he is out of his mind, as soon as I hold him, he like can take a breath.
Yeah.
And that's that connection. I feel like
you wear Archie more.
You way more
than him being the second. Yeah. See, and I think that happens to a lot of moms. I do feel like I feel fortunate because I wore Bianca just as much. So I think I just got into baby wearing because it was introduced to me at a breastfeeding support group and I never saw it before and I kind of fell in love. Mm-hmm. And then I like wanted all these different types of carriers and we just started using them and I realized like how much easier it made my life. So that was like, you know, and it worked for us because she wasn't a great napper, but she, you know, she would always sleep in the carriers. So that helped a ton. And I don't know, it just kind of, it's not like, it's not a trend, you know, it's been happening for
hundreds of years.
Oh God, longer than that.
Hundreds of thousands. Yeah. Forever. Yeah,
you know, and it's like,
It's security.
It's a thing. Where all the babies?
Primates carry their babies. Like,
well, we are carrying. Yes. Yeah. We're mammals. We carry. Yeah. Like, we carry our young. So that's why they exist.
Yeah.
And it makes life easy. Like, it makes life a lot easier, too. It really does.
Sometimes I think, like, people think, like, certain cultures historically have always been privileged. But there's always going to be a certain portion of even the privileged community that is underprivileged and needs to do, like a farmer in Europe 200 years ago, they're so, like, they didn't have anyone helping them. They carried their babies while right. They did their first, like.
Well, I think the cool thing about baby wearing is, like, anybody can do it. So, yes. Like, my husband would wear both babies all the time, even toddlers. Two, grandparents can wear the babies. You know, Bianca's old enough now that she's so excited because, like, she can wear the baby. You know, mm-hmm. I can wrap the baby on her once the baby's born.
Like that the other day.
Yeah, like, it's, you know, it's awesome. I think anybody can help, and it helps the baby stay calm, and they're mm-hmm. not fussy, and
it's snug, it's close, it's comfort.
It's, you know, it's nice for the caretaker, whoever it may be. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be mom.
Right. What's your favorite baby wrap?
Wrap? I mean, I like any of the stretchy ones. I'm trying to think which one I have right now. I think I have a Moby. No, I don't think it's a Moby. I don't remember. Any of the stretchy ones. I think they're really nice because they're not as, like, static, you know, and they're easier to kind of fold around the baby and you get, like, some give. I think they make it easy to breastfeed, too, if you want to breastfeed while the baby is wrapped, mm-hmm. Which is a little bit different and a little bit more challenging than just breastfeeding in a, like, a structured or semi-structured carrier. Do you know what I mean? So, like, mm-hmm. if you're thinking of something of, like, the Ergo or, oh my God, what are some of the other Becco? God, there's so many different carriers now.
And I have a Soli baby.
Yeah. The Soli babies are nice because they're a lot of those are stretchy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like there's like the baby carrier world and options is literally limitless right now.
Right.
It's insane. And it's fun. It's so fun. There's like places that you can go to like, you know, test different ones and try them and, you know, see if you, what you like and what you don't like, because they can be expensive, but to be honest with you, get them online. Like
yeah,
eBay and Facebook Marketplace are my favorite places for baby stuff, especially baby carriers. People need to get rid of them. They want to get rid of them or they spend a lot of money. Where they didn't use them that much.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these things, you just throw them in the washer and they're fine.
Right.
I don't know. I have a lot of baby carriers.
Really? We got two at Just Between Friends, the like moving thrift thing around here. And then we were gifted a Silly Baby. And I use a Silly Baby more than I use the other ones. Yeah. It's just easier for me to put on.
The Tulas are great. I have a toddler carrier for Jude that I got. Most of my carriers go up to like 35 pounds. Mm. So like I could still really wear him on my back in some of them. I don't know what he weighs right now, actually, but I don't think he's 35 pounds. So I could still wear him, you know, a lot in them, but I specifically got a toddler one. So it's more comfortable to put him on my back when the baby's born.
Yes. That video I was referencing where shit hit the fan about like cultural appropriation of baby wearing. It was a Silly Baby wrap where they were wrapping a toddler on the back. And it looked like it was so comfortable. And the reason I ran to the comment section was because I was like, yeah, you finally get them all wrapped up and on there and they're going to be like, I went down. Because that's what the
comment section on social media is just so entertaining these days. I literally had to see myself off of social media last week.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It must have been the energy in the air or something that was happening with some type of portal. I like never comment on things. And I think I lost my shit professionally in like two or three posts. And I was like, you need to get off social media. Like, I don't know what is happening, but like the stuff that people
feel comfortable saying,
say, or even just, it's okay.
You know, what's so funny is like people feel really comfortable making outlandish comments about like people
online because you're behind a computer.
But then the minute, like, somebody says, like, no, like, there's no historical reference to what you're saying.
Well, calls them out on it. They can't back it up.
They always feel like, it's funny how you feel like you can say this to a stranger. And it's like, you've literally done, you started this. It's just crazy. But such is social media. That's why we gotta tone it down. Anyways. About this episode, L-theanine, great to wrap up, to recap, great for mental health, great for literally any system of the body. You can take it in a capsule or you can do steep teas, yellow, green, oolong, white, and then black.
I love how you go through the rainbow spectrum.
There it is. I've never had yellow tea before. I don't know what consists of yellow tea.
I've never yellow. I feel like that I've had.
But I don't know what they would be, but if you find a yellow let me know. What was I gonna say?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yep. And if you're postpartum, baby wearing is great for your connection between you and baby and feeling restored and connected, and it helps with the oxytocin release. So L-theanine for serotonin and dopamine and neuroprotectiveness, and then baby wear for that little boost of
love,
smell and love and everything good.
All right, thanks, Dr. Sarah.
All right, bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more like it, make sure you subscribe to the Empowered Women Pod and rate us 5 stars. Please feel free to also write a review on the podcast. It really does help to spread the Empowered Women message, and it moves us up in the podcast rankings. Plus, we love to hear from our listeners. You can follow us on Instagram at Empowered Women Pod, or if you have a question and want to reach out to Val or I, you can email us at empoweredwomenpod@icloud.com.